Hi, I'm Steve Filler, and welcome everyone to a special podcast from Show Heroes for the IAB, just for context. Contextual targeting has been around for years. Well, actually, many would argue in some form or another since the dawn of advertising. It has, however, become an especially hot topic in the past few years as the decline and eventual death of the third-party cookie becomes a reality. Before I introduce today's special guest, let's just take a minute to give some context to this topic. Contextual targeting is a form of targeting that sidesteps the need for any personal data and therefore doesn't rely on the cookie. It's come a long way in the years since it was first used, and it's become an essential part of marketing tech stacks, with most advertisers increasing their investment in this area. By using sophisticated artificial intelligence to scan web pages and content, contextual targeting has become increasingly accurate as a solution to help advertisers deliver their campaigns in brand-relevant environments. It's a big area of focus for us at Show Heroes, and throughout this series, we're going to be talking to industry experts to get their perspective on this topic. Hi, I'm Steve Filler, and welcome everyone to the first in a new podcast series from Show Heroes, Just for Context. And what way to start with today's very special guest, Hannah Marshall from Matterkind. So I've got Hannah's bio, which I'll read rather than her having to embarrass herself. So Hannah is Addressable Strategy Director at Matterkind, where she leads a team that works across all addressable channels, leveraging the best combination of data, tech, and inventory in each market. Hannah is committed to exploring and testing the latest developments in the programmatic space, keeping clients at the forefront of this rapidly changing landscape. She joined in 2019 and has worked across a range of clients and industries, including technology, lifestyle, travel, and finance, and has delivered projects such as multi-market DCO strategies, launch of third-party attention measurement on programmatic, and testing dynamic programmatic out of home. Now, what she doesn't say in her bio is also, I know she's incredibly highly regarded internally and externally, so we're really lucky to have you join. Thank you so much, Hannah.
No worries. Glad to be here.
All good. So, as I said, there's a lot of buzz at the moment around contextual being the answer to the decline in third-party cookies. And so, first of all, just keen to get your agency perspective on this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's probably the biggest conversation in the industry for many years. And I think, you know, contextual came up probably as one of the first solutions for it because that was what was already available in the market. There's still a lot of uncertainty around what actually will happen when the third cookie finally departs from the scene. But obviously at Matterkind, our focus, as you kind of mentioned in the bio, is about addressability. And that for us means speaking to a user across multiple touch points and using data in whatever source that might be to be as relevant as possible to their need state. So with the decline of the third party cookie, we've been really focused on evaluating solutions in market for our clients ahead of time, as I'm sure a lot of agencies are doing. And certainly for us, you know, contextual is not the only solution, and we're working on other identity solutions with Axiom internally and also engaging with whoever else is kind of leading in that space in the market, like Trade Desk Unified ID, etc. But for clients that wanted to get ahead of the game and those that want to start testing now, contextual strategies are a key element and also a quick win because they're easy to pivot to and to activate and to test, whilst the other identity solutions might still be a bit fragmented or there's still work to be done there. This is something that clients can and are doing to diversify their plan out from a purely audience targeting focused strategy. So for us, I think we're using contextual as one of the tools in our arsenal to kind of get clients ready for that. And to also just look at the value of shifting back to contextual in general as well. I think there was definitely a period of time where it was all about the third party audiences and just data all the way. But with the advancements now of contextual, where you've gone from, you know, from a site list to contextual analysis to semantics, there's definitely a space for that and how we can be as relevant as possible to what users are actually engaging with at the time, and see that kind of impact on results as well.
Nice. So obviously you said it's a big focus at the moment.
Mm.
Does the kind of recent delays and the uncertainty impact that at all? Is it kind of is everyone still all in on that strategy?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were kind of joking about it. We thought that Google would delay it again. I'm sure many people did. But I think it doesn't change the fact that ultimately it is a solution with a timestamp on it at the moment, the way that, you know, a lot of brands currently operate. So I think for us anyway, a lot of our clients, the main focus on a long-term scale is definitely about, you know, first-party data and how we can leverage that in the best way. So there's a lot of projects with a lot of our clients going on right now on, you know, where is your data stored? How do you access it? How do we make that usable and make that scalable for the future? But those aren't things that you can necessarily do right now. And it's things that a lot of clients need a bit of education on, which is something we're really committed to doing. But the delay has obviously just meant we have more time for that. But I think also there's just a lot in the market right now around ways to test that. So I think if anything, it's kind of put eyes on it a little bit more. Obviously, maybe the sense of urgency has decreased a little bit, but it puts eyes on it a little bit more because whilst it's being delayed, it's actually still there. So the question has become, okay, it's been delayed, but what else can we be doing now is probably where we're at.
Yeah, so to that point, you sort of mentioned that there is, you know, there's a lot of options in market. It's kind of a hot topic. I mean, how do you start to evaluate who you should be partnering with, what technologies and approaches you should use for specific clients?
Yeah, it's a great question. And to be honest, it's a question that in the addressable and programmatic space, we get a lot when people realize the complexity of the market. But I think specifically to this, you know, there are so many options within the industry. And I think our approach has always been to just get out there and see what works. We are tech agnostic, so there's no, you know, specific lane that we're tied to in any way. And for us, we're focused, as you mentioned, on that combination. What's the best combination of the data, the tech and imagery that's available to deliver on a client brief? And ultimately, we're judged on the performance of the campaigns that we run and deliver. So we vet and kind of judge partners on that same scale. So for us, it's about meeting whoever's out there. That's a big part of my job at the moment, is just seeing what is out there and figuring out what's available. And then secondly, figuring out tests. So test and learn is a huge thing for us right now in terms of A/B testing. A lot of things, there's a lot of, you know, similar products out there, similar ways to target people. So how can we test that? What's more effective? And then we'll obviously run some test activity, review that. And then within our agency as well, we kind of share that. So if we know that for a certain industry or vertical, a certain partner has done so well, you know, we can share that around and people can kind of make their own decision on that. However, if we are going to be onboarding, you know, an actual new platform or a partner with much closer ties as opposed to maybe a programmatic deal, we do have quite a rigorous onboarding process, as you can imagine. And that will sit within Kinesso. There's a specialist team that kind of deals with that and will vet things like, you know, how they process and manage data, what the brand safety elements are, and also just general compliance amongst other things. But in general, where there's not, you know, a specific platform or tie down, it's very much go out and see what works best. Because yeah, that's the only way we're going to get through it all, I think.
So you're kind of creating, I suppose, yeah, this sort of internal best practice.
Yeah.
And then how important is it then that the wider agency kind of gets it? And you know, where are you at in terms of that communication with the different teams and departments within the agency?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. And I think obviously, you know, we service some of the big agencies within IPG, your UMs and the initiatives and the like. And I think it was slow progress, but I think it's now obviously such a big part of the conversation that actually prior to this year, maybe we were going and saying, hey, the cookie's going to go, like, you really need to start looking at this. And actually now they're coming to us and saying, hey, the cookie's going to go, what should we be doing? So that's been really interesting to see that flip. But I think the main conversation around that is also just understanding the differences and how you kind of approach that. I think, again, in that mindset of kind of data and audience targeting, you can get super, super granular. You pay for it, but you can do it. And then when it comes to contextual, you know, if you want to target something really niche, like IT decision makers who watch golf, you know, there's ways to get to that. But you can't go in and say, I'm just going to layer this and this and this and get there. It really is about what is the content, what is available, and how do we link that back to the audience? What index as well? What other signals can we input to that? So it's a bit of a shift in mindset there. And that's maybe more the conversation that we're having to have with other stakeholders in the agency is just, great, if we're going to pivot this, I'm going to look at cookie lists. And the same thing, I guess, for identity when we get to that other solutions, you know, you won't be able to necessarily get so pinpointed. So how do we effectively target in other ways? And those are the conversations that we're sort of having now.
So structuring expectations and making sure that no one's kind of overselling that capability, I guess.
Managing expectations is the aim of the game.
Makes sense. So I understand there may be some sort of, you know, client sensitivities, but kind of, yeah, any sort of examples or anything that you can help sort of bring this to life would be really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just on an anecdotal level, you know, we have some clients that have specifically looked at context in general, just as a pivot in the last few years, figuring out what's the best way to leverage that. So we have one sort of social platform that we work with, and they're looking to kind of get people out of their creative or lifestyle rut, get them to try something different. And so when we were briefed originally last year, you know, that the ask was, how do we get to places where people don't necessarily expect us and where they're in like a scrolling syndrome or they're kind of stuck in a habit? How do we break that? And so it's a brand that you wouldn't necessarily associate maybe with gaming, but we ended up doing some work on Candy Crush because people get in a Candy Crush hole. So how do we do that? We looked at rewarded video and being in spaces that are unexpected. But that's kind of on an anecdotal level. But there's also been, you know, developments in the last year where a number of our clients are prioritizing contextual targeting. And we've done some testing on sort of the more, you know, advanced contextual solutions out there versus what we used to call, I guess, contextual was more of a generic site list. And when you compare those two things, obviously the more advanced contextual targeting delivers better performance. And we've seen sort of a 31% decrease in CPCV and a 11% increase in BTR for a certain video campaign that we were running. And whilst those two metrics are, you know, still fairly kind of brand focused, it's still really interesting to see the impact of that when we are able to be more relevant, more targeted in that sense, to deliver those kind of incremental cost savings in a way. And I think also there's a couple of, you know, brands that we work with that are sort of high-end travel or fashion, etc., and they've always been concerned about, you know, where they're appearing and how they do that. But for the reasons of scale, you can't just buy against, you know, one publisher. But when we do look at, you know, grouped PMP deals that are kind of targeted towards certain verticals versus a generic data strategy, we do, again, see percentage increases in terms of the performance metrics that run against that. It's quite a broad range, but in general, you know, the trend that we're seeing is positive in that sense. So again, it comes back to it kind of being a bit of a quick win, and it's not going to be right in every situation and it's not going to be as cost effective in every situation, but we are seeing, and clients are seeing, the value of, you know, having that relevance linked back to what your message is as a brand.
Interesting. So clearly, at the moment, I think in most cases, when people are applying contextual targeting of any kind, it's mainly the sort of the targeting element of it. And I guess I've got two questions in one, really. Is one, just in terms of, have you seen any good work or is there any development in clients using the contextual targeting strategy to also impact creative? And I notice, obviously, with your experience in DCO, are there opportunities there?
Yeah, definitely. I think DCO is always a bit of a touchy beast because if you don't get it right, it will be the bane of your life for a while. So the biggest thing is getting that set up right. And I think it is definitely actually something that's coming to the fore now as something that people really want to look at. I think there's two things, which is the conversation around contextual relevance has kind of been hand in hand with the conversation about attention in recent months. So one of the challenges that I sometimes face with DCO is that DCO historically was built for the standard banner. But in the age of attention, you don't really want to be investing as much, especially in upper to mid funnel, in your standard banners. However, the idea of, you know, DCO, especially as it kind of expands into native a little bit and other formats, is really enticing. And I think there is a level of now, how does context again link to creative? And again, coming back to one of the brands that we worked with, you know, they had some creative that linked to it. They had food and they had fashion and they had, I think, home interiors. And we ended up doing, you know, split targeting in a contextual sense against all of those three things, because ultimately there's no point spending, you know, all of your budget against those grouped when you're buying in a contextual way. It wasn't necessarily DCO, but it's definitely, you know, getting down that thought process to where DCO is at. And I think we will start to see that pick up a lot more as people want to be even more specific about that. And again, as we lose some of the identifiers and all of those elements, maybe with a third-party cookie, there's some levers that kind of get taken out of the equation, which you can, in theory, put back in when you look at granular creative testing. And I think that's what clients are starting to look at as quite interesting. You know, does this type of lifestyle imagery do better than our product imagery? And does this type of CTA or heading do better than this? And that's where DCO can really come to the fore, I think, as well.
Interesting. And then, yeah, so you mentioned the attention piece as well, which... So I'm guessing that kind of from an attention perspective, that's just one of the different ways that you're measuring the success of any strategy, and contextual is part of that. But have you seen any or have you been able to run any specific tests where you're able to isolate the impact of contextual strategies from an attention perspective?
To be honest, at the moment, not yet. Our main focus at the moment in the attention space is more around the macro factors around the types of imagery we're buying and you know, where that sits. But it's definitely on the agenda, and it's definitely something that our clients have asked since the introduction of what we're doing with attention. I think at the moment, our main kind of view has been we've been in a stage of essentially gathering data on our typical buys, and now we're in a stage of, okay, how do we start using custom algorithms? How do we start really optimizing to deliver on attention? And once we can do that, how do we then A/B test that against, you know, data versus contextual, or this format versus that format? So we're starting to really dip our toe in that space, but at the moment, I don't have anything kind of concrete on that. But from the collateral that is out there and the information when I speak to partners as well, is, you know, it makes sense, and there is data to suggest that the more contextually relevant something is, the more attention is paid to it, because you're already in that mindset. But it's definitely something exciting for us in the next few months to see how we can kind of get our own hands on that data and start to really bring those case studies to light, and also just start to plan and build our campaigns in a way that reflects that as well.
Yeah. I guess the attention piece, if it's, you know, like a lot of people are still at the stage where it's measuring media quality is a kind of core metric to
exactly.
that. But then if you can then, yeah, the next natural step feels like if you can then place the right ad in that high quality media, then it should move the dial. But I think, yeah, I think we're all in a similar position of kind of starting to test that space. So interesting. And then really sort of final sort of questions for me, which is always the sort of tough bit, but in terms of sort of what you expect to see next and sort of the developments over the sort of coming year to whether Google does not extend or change their mind again, you know, what do you want to see? What do you expect to see in terms of developments?
Yeah, I think what I expect to see and what I want to see are probably going to be different. But I think what's interesting is it seems that we're entering a new phase of disruption in the landscape right now. I think the past, I don't know, 5-10 years has been a process of consolidation, probably, where the wild west of programmatic became much more regulated and people had a lot more trust in it. And, you know, a lot of really cool innovations came out of that, but there was very clear lines kind of that you would operate in as much as there was complexity. I think what's happening now with the loss of the third-party cookie in whatever sense it comes is that, as you know, not one person has a solution for it. So you've got the Unified ID, you've got the news brands working together, you've got Google Sandbox, you've got all these different pieces. And I think that presents a challenge, right, for clients and for agencies, where it's, well, how do you operate in a landscape that so fragmented. Nothing that we've not faced before, but definitely puts that challenge back into the forefront. And I think we're going to start to see some real quick developments and movements in that space, and contextual is going to be a really big part of that, because again, it's an arm that has got already so many players in and so many approaches to that, and there's going to be a lot of refinement in that, I think, in terms of what people are bringing to the front. So I think we'll see a lot of changes in the next couple of months and years. I think what I want to see would have been the pragmatist in me would have been some kind of unification to do that. But in the same way, I think, you know, this is keeping us very much on our toes and keeping us considering, you know, the value factors potentially for programmatic when attention and all of that comes into it, because the struggle that you maybe have when everything is so easy, like we had with third party audiences, is, you know, sometimes you lax on that quality control and pushing to find the best solutions within that space, because it's so easy to just overlay anything you want, and 9 times out of 10 it pretty much works. So what I think that means for me wanting to see is I just want to see us doing a lot more kind of rigorous testing. I think we maybe got a bit lazy with testing, where we were just kind of throwing new things together and seeing what stuck. But now it's very much more about that rigor. Like, how can we prove whether one thing's going to be better than another? Because that's the question everybody's asking.
So basically, you just want the challenge.
That's it. You got to rise to the challenge, or you got to pack up and go home, I think. Nice.
Well, that's like a very good place to end. So thank you so much for joining us. It was super interesting. Really appreciate your view and time. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to our latest episode of Just for Context. We hope we have topped up your contextual tank just a little. For more information about Show Heroes and our contextual tools, including Show Heroes Semantic Hero, which is our very own AI-driven semantic technology, please head to our website, showheroes.com. You can also find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and also make sure to listen out for our other podcasts. See you soon.
You've been listening to another show from the Digital Distillery Podcast Network. Over at the Digital Distillery, we're working on a host of new shows covering all sorts of aspects of the digital media landscape, including programmatic, women in ad tech, startups, and corporate ESG, just to name a few. To find out more, head over to the-digital-distillery.com and hit the podcast tab.